Thank you, Brother Abernathy. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and our Bible college theme is steadfast, unmovable. Amen. And what we want to be right here in the present is steadfast and unmovable, right? Steadfast. In the future, we want to be unmovable. And I just want to preach this morning before all the other preachers get in and they get to preach on the theme. I get to be here all the time. Amen. I told one of the faithful folks, I appreciate them being here today, and they said, "Well, I appreciate you showing up to work too." Amen. You know, I've been at this long enough that I decided a long time ago to be steadfast, and I don't think about not coming anymore. You know when you wake up and you know everything's going to hurt. But I just stop thinking about that stopping me. I don't think about that. I just think about what's it going to take to get this thing going. You ever work with a piece of equipment you're not ready to quit on yet? You don't measure whether it's done. You just, what's it going to take to get it going? And as we age and go on, boy, it takes more and more to be steadfast sometimes. It takes more and more to be unmovable. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to preach a message this morning entitled, "In the Past, in the Present, and in the Future. Faith is the victory." You know, sometimes when we measure out victory, we measure our own victories. I've had to be reminded this week that I'm going to take losses. I've had to be reminded this week and even this morning that some of the people in this room feel like they've taken a hit or taken a loss. On Friday, we buried one of the choice servants of our church. She had her funeral and memorial service for Miss Mary Everett's. And I read out of this passage of Scripture, because faith is the victory. Amen. Even in seeming defeat, when the world thinks it's over, it ain't over. But it was over long before that. The victory had been won. And folks, too many times we get down and we get wearied because the battle we're in, for us, if we're not careful, we'll account it as the entire war. This is just one battle. This is just one hill we're trying to take. We didn't get to take it today, but maybe tomorrow he'll give me the mountain. Too many times in our lives, we'll let something stop us from being steadfast because of a simple battle. When faith is the victory. This morning, let's pray together before we read this scripture. Dear Lord, as we come to you this morning, and we, Lord, without a doubt, across the room today, there are people living in victory, but tomorrow may be the day that the battle seems harder, the battle seems lost. Lord, I pray you'd encourage them in the word that they might be able to hold on to it as they head into a week. Lord, there's others I've already spoken to this morning, and they seem defeated. The battle seems overwhelming, and they don't see there's any way to win. But Lord, I pray you'd help us all to put away the fear and to have faith and realize that faith is the victory. Lord, I pray this morning you do what I can't do. Holy Spirit of God, you go into the hearts of the hearers. And if there's one that is lost in this building today, I know it is your will to save them. But I pray you would draw them through your word, Lord. Let me be your messenger boy to say exactly what they need this morning to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. For the believers that are in the room, Lord, I pray they'd be edified and encouraged through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Corinthians 15, I want you to see, and we'll begin reading all the way at the end of the chapter. I'm not going to read it necessarily in strict order here in chapter 15, but I want you to see in verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren." So who's being spoken to here? The believer. Somebody that in the past has put their faith in Jesus Christ, and he begins with "therefore." And anytime we read "therefore," that means we got to go backwards to realize what it's there for. But he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If we're not careful, we'll let a defeat today think that it's all in vain. I got up here this morning, I began talking about a victory. Brother Allen's singing this morning, it may not have been that way for you, but he was singing about a victory in his life. But I get to realize and see the day after day that he went to class and the schooling that he went through and how he won battles. He won a victory, and now he's standing up singing to others, encouraging and edifying the body of believers and saying, faith is a victory. That's showing steadfastness in the present. You know what the world needs us to see every day right here in the nasty now and now, the presence of this life, they need to see steadfast Christians showing faith is the victory. We take our licks. Folks, don't think about it. That doesn't happen. People in the world get in car accidents. People in the world have trouble. People in the world can't pay their bills. People in the world don't have a place to lay down their head. People in the world, but the difference is the people in the world don't have Jesus Christ to say faith is the victory. If you put your faith and trust in me, if you listen to my word and follow me in obedience, boy, I tell you, faith is the victory. We had some testimonies. Brother Betancourt's over in our Spanish church preaching this morning. Preaching the word of God. And on watch night, he stood up and said, hey, the first time I came to this church, I came in on a bus route. I wasn't saved. I didn't have a home. I didn't have a car. I didn't have anything. But that day he came in. Boy, it didn't take long of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ in his own language. And faith became the victory. And there's been battles. There's been trials. Come on, folks. He's got like 13 kids. But faith is the victory. Amen. He's preaching today over there and telling other people faith is the victory. He said, when I came here, I didn't have a car. I got a car. He said, I got more cars. He said, preacher. He had to have more than one car because he can't get them all in one rear vehicle. Right? He said, I had no house. God gave me a house. And then he stood up here and listen, this was new for me and I got excited. He said, my house is paid off. Do you know that there's a difference between just having a place to lay your head and then God not only gave me a place, but he paid it off. That's exciting. It's worth taking a lap around the house. And the neighbor going, why are you making a lap around the house? Because faith is the victory. Hey, sometimes we get sullied in this life when people need us to stay steadfast. You say, what's steadfast, preacher? Stead, that stead is standing, it's foot, it's a place to, it's I set my feet upon the rock of Jesus Christ and I will not be moved. I'm steadfast in the present. I believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and that faith is the victory and I'm going to stand steadfast in my faith. I'm not going to be wavered by somebody saying, well, what about this? What do you mean, what about that? Just because the storms come doesn't negate the blood of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood to die on the cross for me and he saved me with his blood. I'm steadfast in my belief that it's under the blood. It's paid for. It's gone. What about, boy, when you feel like Satan is stolen? What do you think Job thought? When his kids were gone and his house was gone and his camels and every piece, every cattle that he ever saw, it was gone. And God let one, listen, the devil let one servant come back and let him know. Everybody's dead. They're all gone. You got nothing. But you and your wife. And she didn't encourage him. She said, look, she got down, woe is me. Listen, Job, if anybody had a right to, be down and discouraged and be on the bottom, and as his wife told him, just curse God and die. Job didn't say it in these words, but Job looked up from the sackcloth and ashes with bulls all over him and said, faith is the victory. And God restored all those things, all the things that we can lose in this life. Faith can be the victory that overcomes so many things. And watch God bless us and restore and give us more than we had before. We got to be steadfast. Hey, folks, you know, we've watched it. This church, our pastor for 50 years, Pastor Mickey Carter, he stood steadfast. But our church needs to go past just the present and go for the future. We're going to be unmovable. We're not just going to be steadfast in the present, but we are going to make a statement by faith that faith is the victory and we are unmovable in our faith. We're not going to be shaken. Our music will never move. We're not going to stand where other people stand because faith is the victory. If it was good for the present past, then it's good for this future. Every day of the future, the music will be the same. It'll be encouraging. It'll be about the blood. It'll be about Jesus Christ, and it won't be sounding like the world's rock music. It'll be just as I am without one plea. Say, preacher, it'll be faith is the victory. It'll be amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. Unmovable, unwavering in music. I want to be unmovable and unwavering in the message that Jesus saves and that faith is the victory for every day for the future. Nobody wondering when they walk in the back door, what will they find at Landmark Baptist Church? They will find faith is the victory. They'll find the message is unwavering that Jesus saves and that he can win and work and change. He can reach to the lowest ditch and pull a man up and set his feet upon the rock. Say, preacher, that's what we plan to do. Well, we better set our mind to it.
That's right.
We better set our heart on it. You better set your feet. Yeah. Too many times we say, what do you mean? I mean somewhere in the present. We always talk about riding a fence. That means I kept one good foot steadfast, but I was feeling everything out with the other one. I knew that this was hard and solid ground, but I was looking for another place to stand. Folks, I beg you, you know, we live in a day and age that it is so easy to look for sinking sand. I stood in the parking lot and talked with one of our men and just talked about the battle that our young people face with the internet. But it's not just our young people. It's not just teenagers. Men in this church, women in this church. Whether it be over deceitful things, whether it be over terrible doctrinal things, whether it be over bad music, you can get it all at your fingertips. Hey, folks, I don't want the message to change. You know when the message changes? When the hearts of the people change. When they get to a place where they allow themselves and say, you know, I know this is what Gospel 93.3 plays. I know this is what we sing in church, but I like this. I have my own playlist on Spotify, on Amazon, on this and that. You say, what's wrong with that, preacher? Music matters, folks. And all of a sudden, the subtle things and the things that we don't think will change us, all of a sudden, I've been feeling for sinking sand. And all of a sudden, the music that used to appeal to me doesn't appeal to me anymore. The church and the message, when they preach on music, it doesn't hit home anymore because that's not what I practice anymore. Because I'm not standing steadfast. I got one foot in and I got one foot out, feeling for everything else down the road. Yep. Hey, folks, we're going to be steadfast and unmovable. We can't be feeling around. We got to stand in the truth. We got to put both feet wholeheartedly on it and stand there every day of the week, not just on Sunday. Sunday's a good day to stand there, ain't it? But I can't just be steadfast and do it one day a week. Steadfast to stand in Monday. Monday, everybody that sees me, I'm standing steadfast upon the blood of Jesus Christ. And faith is the victory on Monday. And faith is the victory on Tuesday. And faith is the victory on Wednesday. And faith is the victory on Thursday. And on Friday and on Saturday, it's what drives me every day. It's what holds me steadfast. It's what gives me good footing. And I don't let those things slip or neglect the great salvation that God has given me because I'm steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. Amen. You say, preacher, okay, you talked about the present. and the future being unmovable. Think about this. If we boil down, let's get the ABCs of being steadfast. And the ABCs, I'm trying to get it down on the bottom shelf, of being unmovable. I mean, how do I measure someone's steadfastness? I measure their actions. Jesus said we check their fruit. You may not always know what a tree is. You've been with those people that can just spot a tree and look at the bark and tell you what tree it is. I ain't one of them people. I look to see if it's an acorn. And I see what it shed forth, and I said, I know what that is. Because if I look at the bark, I'm liable to call an oak a gum. And somebody will think I'm dumb. But I check the fruit. And when I see the fruit, that's what it is. When I look at a tree and it's putting forth oranges, I don't say, that's a beautiful apple tree. Because somebody taught me my colors. And so I know that's an orange tree. I'm not sure what it's putting off. Oh, it's oranges, right? Actions. Our actions show our steadfastness. Just being in church this morning and backing out of the driveway showed to everybody around your steadfastness. You didn't think about it. You didn't plan on it. You didn't tell everybody. Putting on the button and wearing it on a daily basis, not just on Sunday, but on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. You know, I have to purposely wake up and put the button on. You may think I wear the same jacket, that I steal enough of these buttons to put on everything I have. But I have to be just like you. I have to be steadfast. I have to wake up and choose to move the button from the jacket I wore yesterday to the jacket I wear today so that I can be steadfast and showing everybody my faith, that faith is a victory. I have to wake up every day and do that. I stand in my belief. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, 100% man, 100% God, that He's coming back for His church. I believe that. I believe that today. I'm going to believe that tomorrow. I'm going to be steadfast and unmovable in my belief, because that's A and B and C is just simply, think about this, that I've got convictions built upon the Word of God. What is a conviction, preacher? It is how I live, how I stand. You ever watched anybody get wore out, give out, and they don't stand as straight at attention as they used to? You know, if you're not careful, you can stand so at attention, you'll lock your knees and pass yourself out. You don't look too steadfast when you're face down on the concrete. But standing is placing both my feet in the good word of God. Because the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This word of God is just Jesus in print, and I'm going to stand in the convictions of the word of God. I believe that Jesus changed water into non-alcoholic wine. I believe a Jesus that would change it into alcoholic wine isn't a Jesus that could save you. Because that same Jesus that came and filled the law full could not fill the law full if that was full of alcoholic wine. You say, why do you stand there? That's a conviction. I got scripture on it. I can stand hard and make a conviction in my life. Why don't you drink it? Because the Word of God tells me not to. Why do I stand against it? Why do I preach against it? Why do I stand at odds? Because I don't want it to affect me. I have a spirit, and His name is the Holy Spirit. And I sure am not going to give myself over to an unholy spirit when God has given me a great gift of the Spirit of God to indwell and control me. Why would I give myself control, the control of myself over to spirits that I don't know? That's not steadfast. That's not unmovable. You drink enough of those spirits and you won't know when you moved. I guarantee you, you drink enough of those. Listen, that kind of spirit never makes anybody steadfast. It makes them wobbly. You say, preacher, why are you getting after everybody today? I'm not getting after anybody. I'm trying to tell you to stand. I'm trying to tell you how to be steadfast. That's the A, B, and C's of it. You know, that's not just for the present. That's steadfast ABCs, actions, beliefs, and convictions. Amen. In the present, You know how they can know I was unmovable? Because they measured my actions, my beliefs, and my convictions tomorrow, and they look exactly like the ones I had yesterday. Steadfast, unmovable. And how about this? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That word abounding is a simple word. It means to increase. It means to prevail. You know, the word, I had to look up prevailing. I wanted to know, because you know, I mean, sometimes that sounds like victory, don't it? That sounds like I'm prevailing, moving forward. I'm winning a victory. Prevailing is gaining advantage, superiority, or victory. Having effect. How about this one for always abounding in the work of the Lord? Persuading. Succeeding. Do you know that most men, most women in this life, they need someone. When they find somebody standing steadfast and unmovable on the word of the Lord, they need somebody to persuade them that this is the place to stand. Come stand with me. Come stand with me in faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Come stand with me upon the blood of Jesus Christ. Come stand with me upon the words of Jesus Christ and see that faith is the victory. Say, preacher, that's simple. Yeah, well, how about when we look back? Look what he says here. He said, therefore, you know what the whole argument was? Think about this. Verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortality shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I just want you to understand that nobody was ever steadfast enough to win the victory. No one's ever been unmovable enough to win a victory, but there was a time in the past where they believed by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I mean, just simply, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. And then explains through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means through his finished work of Calvary. His death, burial, and resurrection won a victory that I could not win. One that you could not win. And if I was just, listen, I sat down and wrote faith. What does faith mean? If I'm going to do ABCs, I might as well do faith when faith is the victory. I put forgiven. I don't know if that means anything to you, but that's big time to me because I'm a sinner. And I'm a sinner saved by grace. And any time that I might start thinking that I'm steadfast and so unmovable that God could shine on me and think something of me, I have to remember who I was in the past. And that there was no victory in that man. That was an old man that was on his way to hell, but Jesus gave me the gift of eternal life. And I was forgiven first of all before I ever could stand steadfast. I wrote down accepted. I was accepted into a family that I had no business in. I was accepted into a body of believers that didn't need to take me in, but they took me in anyway because Jesus loved me and saved me. They said, come stand with us. Come be steadfast. Folks, you say, preacher, you haven't always been steadfast. No, I was just this boy that grew up in Maryland. I never had anybody show me how to be steadfast. Nobody had ever shown me how to be saved. But they took the word of God and showed me how to be saved. Amen. They told me to be steadfast. I had to get baptized and get into the Lord's church. That was the first step that God wanted me to make of steadfastness. And I walked down the aisle and I presented myself to the church and said, church, I got saved. Amen. Faith is the victory. And they took me around the back and put this weird little piece of vinyl cloth on me. They called it a baptismal robe. I'd never worn one. But I was happy to put it on if that's what Jesus wanted. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't care what I looked like that day. I was trying to follow God's obedience. Just wanted to be obedient to him. I got in the tank and they put me down and brought me up. I didn't even hear all the words the preacher said. Now I know because I'm a preacher that the preacher raises up his hand and says, for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. See, the words, the picture was for everybody else that was watching. The practice was for me. The picture showed everybody else how to be steadfast and how to, that I, the old man was going down and the new man was rising up. And I began to practice steadfastness, going to church, reading my Bible, showing up. And I desired to be unmovable in the future. You know how I learned to be today? Listen, I can look back at the past and the present back then, and I began to be steadfast. But I just continued. I just decided today to be steadfast, and in the future I was unmovable. You say, what scares you to death? Not being steadfast today. Neglecting the great salvation that God gave me. Because if I let it slip, one day, folks, I may slip off of a steadfast position in Him. And you know, even for me, you know what scares the preacher? You say, why does that make you scared? Because I got to have faith as a victory. I have to be steadfast. I realize this. If I slip, I'm the one that it affects most of all and first of all. But I'm a father. And my family's going to watch me slip. And the steadfastness and belief, instead of them putting it on me, they'll say, maybe Jesus wasn't faithful after all. And I surely don't want Him to have any glory stolen from Him because I slipped. I may slip and my church, my people, my family may see me slip and they may think God's not faithful. God's not got the victory. I don't want to slip today, folks. I want to be steadfast. I want to be unmovable. You know how I stay that way? Is not ever pushing my chest out with pride and thinking, look at me, how steadfast I am. Look at all my convictions. Look at how unmovable I am. I keep looking back that I was forgiven. I keep looking back that I was accepted. I keep looking back that I'm indwelt by the Spirit of God. And if there's any good thing in me, it is the Holy Spirit of God that directs and keeps me. If there's any good thing, huh? That I've been translated. I've been translated. I was born again. That means a new birth took place. It was something that was supernatural that I never could have done for myself, but I yielded for God to do in me. Think about what this. Think, doesn't this sound like this? He says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortality shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. Do you know what the upcoming verses makes this statement? That we must put off the incorruptible and we must put on, that we must put on off the corruptible and put on the incorruptible. We must. It sounds a lot like must be born again. It sure sounds a lot like being translated from one thing that I surely could never be to something else, right? I mean, I was a sinner. I was lost in my way to hell. That was something I was. It's who I was. It's who I am outside of Jesus Christ. But when He saved me, He translated me into the family of God, born again. Not of my own power, but of His, translated. Then I finished up with H. Because I constantly remember that I'm an heir, a joint heir with Christ. That this life isn't the end. This isn't what I'm living for. My inheritance is not here, but is there. See, sometimes, I can get excited, and I can tell you faith is the victory, that I want to be steadfast and unmovable in the future, steadfast today, unmovable in the future. But if I'm not careful, then I think all my inheritance is here in being unmovable. All my inheritance is in fundamentalism. It's all in my faith, but faith is the victory. Faith has no intention of keeping me here after the work is done. See, my labor is not in vain. My labor is not in vain because someone else doesn't believe or someone else doesn't say faithful. My faith is the victory because one day my faith will become sight. My faith will translate me from here to heaven. My faith will make me just listen. I'm going to put off this corruptible body and put on incorruptible. Right. Not because of who I am, because I'm going to be made from the sinful man into a brand new man. Not just from the inside, but from the inside out. And he's going to robe me in pure flesh. Not flesh that gets old and weary and broken, but a flesh that'll never tire. Amen. Of saying glory, glory, glory. Of a flesh that will never get tired of praising God, of walking with God. A flesh that will never get tired of being steadfast. And listen, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. He says this. I want you to see this. It's a brand new year. How excited we were for a brand new year, and how quickly we can peter out, can't we? We can have New Year's resolutions, right? We're going to work out every day, and we already messed that one up. But he says this. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know. That for as much as means because of. Because you know that your labor's not in vain. What keeps me steadfast is knowing that everybody that gets saved, I'll see him again. Every believer that, I mean, when Mary Everett passed away and took her last breath, that wasn't the end of Mary Everett's. She's in heaven with the Lord. You know what keeps me steadfast and unmovable? Knowing that one day I'll stand before Jesus Christ. And my desire, and only those that have stood steadfast and unmovable will hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. You say, preacher, yes, the message is, if you've believed, thanks be to God because of what he's done in the past. You've believed in the name of his son. But in this present age, are we standing steadfast, or are we got one foot on the rock and feeling for the sinking sand, feeling for something else that might be a little better? It's going to affect the unmovable future. And this church, until Jesus comes, we ought to stay unmovable. If you're here today, and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't know, you've never accepted him, why don't you get in on faith as the victory? Why don't you find the victory in Jesus Christ? You could never find it on your own. Your righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. You could work and work and work, and your good will never outweigh your bad. But Jesus' good can tip the scales. It'll break the scales in your favor. You can have eternal life. That never has to weigh out again. It's fixed. It's eternal. It's forever. If you just accept the finished work of Jesus Christ. I hope you will today. If you don't know him, then today we can take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're here today and need to be baptized, you've been saved. You know faith is a victory. Why don't you take the first step of steadfastness in faith in Jesus Christ by being baptized? Maybe you need to join this good church. Whatever God wants you to do, with heads bowed and eyes closed as I pray, would you stand to your feet as the musicians come? Dear Lord, I beg you this morning, help us to do what you want us to do. Keep us steadfast in faith. Help us to stand unmovable in the future, Lord. But thank you for the past, where we're forgiven, accepted. God, where we're indwelt by a Spirit of God that keeps us every day, that translated us into a family of God, and that we might be heirs of Christ. Help those that aren't saved today. They don't know for sure they're saved. Help them today to get it 100%. Let us take a Bible and show them. But you do the work. Holy Spirit, draw them. Draw them down to the front that we might show them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and wait. Soul of one. dark blot. To thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
If you'd bow your head with me this morning, if you'd pray, if you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, we'd love, this is an old-fashioned invitation. The invitation is for you to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't know Him, you've never accepted Him, you've never entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we beg you to step out and come this morning. If you're here and you need to be baptized, or we want to join the church, the altar's open and we're ready to receive you this morning. Whatever God's asking you to do, you do it, as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight rich as He, being of the mind, yea, all I need in Thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
We have some things to share with you. I'd ask you just to be seated, and I know you won't be down very long, but we want you to be able to see these folks. And Brother Ed and Patricia Stevens, I met with them yesterday. They're coming, and they want to join the church. By statement, why don't you come stand right here with me, brother, and your wife. And these folks are asking by letter. They've been saved, they've been baptized, and they've been serving in another church, and they moved up here, and they got grandbabies local. Amen. So that's a good reason to live in Haines City, isn't it? Amen. And I understand that. I understand the draw there. Amen. But these are good folks, and we want you to be able to vote them in this morning. If you would accept them by upraised hand, amen. It's so carried. What a blessing. We're so glad to have you folks with us. We want you to come by afterwards and welcome them into the church. But we also have with us, I didn't get his name. Come here. Is it, how does it say? Fritz? Fritz. Did I say it right? Okay. And I'm not going to try the last name. It looks like Gabriel. Is it Gabriel? Oh, man, I tried it. Stand right here with us. Brother Gabriel came today, and he has received Jesus Christ as his Savior. He accepted Christ yesterday and came today to make public profession to the church. And then he's hoping maybe we'll make a vote on him. If he accepts Christ, right, he's done that, and then he wants to get baptized. How many of you would accept him for baptism? Amen. All right, he's going to do that in the future with his family. So let's go ahead and stand to our feet. I want you to come by and shake hands and congratulate these folks, and we'll close out in prayer. Brother Daniel, you step up here and pray for us if you would.
All right, let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this day, this opportunity to come and serve you and hear about your precious word that you have for us, Lord. And I ask that you can just pray that we can go home safely and let us have a good remainder of this day. Bring us back safe tonight. All us pray in Jesus' name. Amen.